how do we identify effective teachers and educators in early childhood? And I think those are some of the issues that we're going to be continuing to address, these issues of alignment and what makes for a high quality interaction between teachers and children, and how we're going to be able to measure and promote that.
This is Civios, your source for public affairs research. A podcast from the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota.
In this episode, we are talking with Professor Judy Temple from the Humphrey School of Public Affairs. She is a public economist teaching in the social policy area. She currently is the director of the university's graduate certificate program in early childhood policy. Along with Arthur J. Reynolds, she conducts research to identify and promote cost-effective policies with programs for children. Welcome, Judy, to this episode, and thank you for coming and sharing this research with us. And before we begin talking specifically, let's provide our listeners with a bit of background about you. Can you speak a little bit to what you do at the Humphrey School, and how did you get interested in studying early childhood policies?
I am an economist, and I've been working here at the Humphrey School since 2006. My original line of research was on state and local government tax and spending policies. Then somehow over time, I started to wish I was studying the problems and experiences of people instead of governments. I wanted to work with data sets about individuals instead of the data that I was always working on with the 50 states or 101 counties. When I was working at a university in Illinois, I started collaborating with a researcher who was following a large group of students who were attending schools in the poorest neighborhoods in Chicago. That is how I got hooked on doing research on policies for children, as well as doing cost-benefit analyses.
So you're here, Judy, to talk about your new edited book that's coming out soon from Cambridge University Press. Can you tell us a little bit about this book and how it came about?
Since I came to the university, I've been associated with a research center called the Human Capital Research Collaborative, or HCRC. Now I'm the co-director, but originally I was just a faculty member involved in working with research projects, directing some of the benefit-cost analyses, and working with students and research scientists. Arthur Reynolds, a professor in the Institute of Child Development, was the director and then co-director of the center. For a time, we worked with Art Rolnick, who was at the Federal Reserve Bank, and with Art, we organized a couple of national invitation-only conferences on early childhood topics, and we published two volumes of papers from those conferences. But more recently, a few years ago, we organized the third national conference, and this time the topic was, how can we sustain the benefits from early childhood programs? This new volume, the third in a series, only involves Arthur Reynolds and I as co-editors. We felt fortunate to have so many contributions from over 30 authors and co-authors for a total of about 15 chapters. This new book emphasizes key interventions and practices over the first decade of life and the key elements and strategies through which early learning gains can be enhanced by schools, families, communities, and public institutions.
So let's dig in a little bit deeper into different aspects in the book. And the first part of the book contains chapters by researchers describing key characteristics of high-quality early childhood programs. What are some of the important messages in this section of the book, in the first part of the book?
Well, first of all, there's this common belief that the gains from early childhood programs always fade out. And so the whole point of our book title, Sustaining Early Childhood Gains, is a focus on the word sustaining rather than preventing fade out. Although some studies have shown that the early gains in test scores seem to disappear as students move into the elementary school years, quite a few studies of high-quality preschool programs show lasting effects, if not on test scores, then on other schooling outcomes such as the avoidance of grade repetition and the avoidance of high school dropout. The studies that show lasting, enduring, or sustainable effects all come from high-quality programs. These programs have small class sizes. We think there should be in our research, no more than 17 kids in a classroom with a teacher and an aide. These programs have an intensive focus on language and literacy, comprehensive involvement of families through offering services and involving the families in the learning activities in the program. And finally, high-quality programs typically compensate staff in a way that's competitive with public school compensation.
So one of the things that comes out in the book is the reality that there are some reasons why the benefits of early childhood programs may not last into the early grades. Can you talk more specifically about that?
In the literature on early childhood, one conclusion is that programs that are not high quality are the most likely to have benefits of shorter duration. But even among medium and high quality programs, one of the findings that some research has identified is that some children who really arrived at kindergarten ready to learn, had decent learning gains throughout the preschool experience, they end up in elementary schools where the kindergarten class sizes are just too large. There's so many children with differing levels of readiness. Many of the kids may not have attended preschool themselves. And some of these issues about the school context are something that we investigate in the book.
In the main section of the book, then the researchers start to focus on preschool through third grade policies that may help sustain these early learning gains. And one chapter specifically focuses on state policies to promote the continuity of strong learning experience from preschool through third grade. What are some of these policies? What did you learn there?
Well, there's a growing awareness that we just can't focus on the preschool years. We need to focus on the whole preschool through third grade experience. And maybe we could say we need to focus on the whole preschool through 12th grade experience. But really, third grade is a key benchmark year. It's often a year in which children are taking their standardized tests for the first time. It's thought to be a year in which it's really important that children be able to read and start to read well by third grade. And so one of the chapters looks at various state policies that can help promote this whole preschool through third grade experience and recognize that it's a time period that really requires policy attention. For example, they look at things like what are the characteristics required for a director of a childcare center? What kind of education level does that person have? This varies by state. Another thing they look at is the licensure types that exist for teachers who teach, 4 and 5 year olds. There's really two types of licensure that teachers can get who are interested in teaching, 4 and 5 year olds. One is really a license that focuses on the preschool through early elementary grades. And another is an elementary education certificate or elementary education license that focuses on kindergarten through maybe 5th or 6th grade. And they argue that these kind of teacher preparation backgrounds are very different. And so with children in the kindergarten year, for example, they can have teachers with very different preparations as far as how they address, learning issues in the early grades.
In another chapter written by your co-editor, Arthur J. Reynolds, he describes a high-quality program in the Chicago Public Schools that offers a preschool through third grade program in some of the most disadvantaged neighborhoods. Can you tell us about what some of the key ingredients of that program are?
Sure. Arthur Reynolds is the director of the Chicago Longitudinal Study, which follows a large cohort of students who participated in an education intervention called the Child-Parent Centers. More recently, he directed a large project that scaled up the Child-Parent Center model in its original city, Chicago, as well as implementing it in St. Paul, Minnesota, and a few other locations. So the Child-Parent Center model is a school reform model. It focuses on the importance of a high-quality preschool to third grade education experience. And as you asked, some of the ingredients are small class sizes in preschool, particularly 17 to 2, where the 2 refers to a teacher and a teacher's aide, a focus on literacy, teachers in preschool who have 4-year degrees, an aligned curriculum, because if you have preschool through third grade education intervention, you'd want to make sure that every year of this preschool through third grade spectrum, that the teachers in each year are aware of what was taught the year before. There's also a heavy emphasis in the child-parent center model on parent involvement. In fact, that's why it's called child-parent centers. It's really important to get parents involved in the school, whether it's through home visits or through parents coming into the school, to get more involved in their children's education and in the life of the school itself. In some of the work involving the CPC model, Arthur and other researchers asked questions about the importance of school climate, the importance of school leadership, and the importance of family involvement.
Can you talk about some of the other interesting discussions that are part of this section of the book?
There's a lot of great chapters in this section focusing on the preschool through third grade time period, but Deborah Steipek's work on the quality and continuity in young children's educational experience seem to be especially important. She summarizes research on what constitutes quality at both the preschool and elementary level. She talks quite a bit about this whole concept of an aligned curriculum and aligned instructional practices. And she argues that this issue of having an aligned curriculum from preschool to kindergarten to first, second, and third grades, so that all children make progress every year and that some children don't have to repeat what they've already learned to try and get the other children up to speed, this kind of aligned curriculum, making sure it exists across different kinds of childcare settings, is a great challenge to the field.
The book ends with a couple of chapters that provide an overview of what high-quality early childhood experiences look like. And at the end of the book, you list about a dozen guiding principles for sustaining those early gains. Why don't you spend a little bit of time and tell us a bit more about these final chapters?
Sure. We were fortunate to get Barbara Bowman to write a chapter as she reflects on progress in the early childhood field over the many decades she's been involved. She recently celebrated her 90th birthday. She is a researcher at the Erickson Institute in Chicago. She's worked for the Chicago Public Schools as the director of early childhood programs. And at 90 years old, she continues to be a great asset to us as researchers and to the field of early childhood practice and research. She has a great summary of her perspective of how the field is evolving and what the challenges will be. Another chapter is written by Craig and Sharon Ramey. And they also have a long history of being involved in some of the most important landmark interventions in early childhood. And in their chapter, they review much of the history of experiments in early childhood education. And they focus on what they call the myth of fade-out. The myth of fade-out effects. This is very timely given the whole point of our chapter is about sustaining or, you know, eliminating this problem of fade-out. And they offer suggestions on how existing programs can be scaled up to reach a greater number of children to help reduce the large education inequalities that continue to exist at school entry and beyond.
This edited volume is very impressive, and it's been endorsed by some fairly important policymakers and research and community leaders. Who did you get to provide recommendations for the book?
Sure. We were really excited to get some pretty spectacular endorsements from people like Arnie Duncan, the former U.S. Secretary of Education, Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, as well as CEOs from important foundations who are interested in this kind of work about the whole preschool through third grade time period and about the importance of sustaining the effects of early intervention. We had the CEO from the Kresge Foundation write an endorsement, as well as the CEO from the McKnight Foundation. The publisher likes to have these recommendations to put on the book jacket. In addition, we were really happy that Provost Karen Hansen from the University of Minnesota was able to write the foreword to our volume. And in her short piece, she links the mission of our research center, the Human Capital Research Collaborative, to her own interests in identifying and solving grand challenges.
So looking into the future, Judy, what do you think the future holds in the policy world? What are the policy implications for recognizing the importance of both increasing access to high-quality early childhood programs as well as implementing programs and policies that help sustain these early efforts?
Well, I think we'll see in the future continued focus on expanding access to high-quality programs, because that's the number one lesson, that it's really only the high-quality programs in early childhood that are going to have long-term benefits. And how we increase access of children to high-quality programs is something that hasn't quite been decided yet. Whether we decide to have universal access and whether universal access will take place in a delivery mechanism where we can have, you know, private home daycares and community centers and school-based preschools, I think the future of our expanded access to early childhood is going to incorporate this kind of mixed delivery system. And then once we have this mixed delivery system, one of the challenges is going to be about this whole curriculum alignment and this continuity of high-quality experiences. Because some of the research that Arthur Reynolds does, he focuses on preschool that's based in the public school setting. And so clearly the alignment issues can be addressed much better there because the preschool teachers are just down the hall from the kindergarten and the first and second grade teachers. But in a mixed delivery system, we're going to have children coming in from community centers, from home daycare programs, and they're all going to be entering kindergarten together. And hopefully we're going to be able to promote this idea of what's a high-quality experience in early childhood. One of the chapters I didn't mention focuses on what kind of curriculum seems to work best in early childhood. Another chapter focused on how do we identify effective teachers and educators in early childhood. And I think those are some of the issues that we're going to be continuing to address, these issues of alignment and what makes for a high-quality interaction between teachers and children and how we're going to be able to measure and promote that.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Civios, an initiative of the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. To learn more about this segment, please visit civios.umn.edu.